Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA final.
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports here on KOL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Bascarini. Travis Anderson along with me in the studio today as we get set for both local and national sports. We are going to talk about the Olympics. We got to talk about Michael Phelps today. He's been a talk of Drive Time Sports, I think, throughout the week. We've talked a lot about him. He wins gold medal number 20 and 21 last night. Still has a chance for a couple of more. The guy just does work. That's all he has to do.
Greatest Olympian ever.
He might be the greatest athlete ever.
He probably is.
He's one of them. I've said that for years, and a lot of people have looked at me and said I'm dumb for saying that a swimmer is the greatest athlete of all time. He makes a great case for that title. Now, it's all subjective, obviously, but, you know, he's pretty good. He's pretty dang good. Michael Phelps, just doing some more work. That's all there is to it. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And also, with this being the Olympic Games 2016, you realize it's 20 years since Michael Johnson became the first man to win the 200 and 400. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that on the show today as well. Plus, we're going to talk some local high school football. We got a new show coming your way every Saturday morning beginning at 11 a.m. We're going to have a high school football preview. I'm looking forward to this show. High school football is huge in the state of Utah. People really gear up for it. And so this high school football review show will be geared towards a 3A classification. Today, though, we're going to talk to a referee. Rarely do you get to talk to the officials. I like talking to referees. NBA, NFL, doesn't matter. Referees have just a different perspective on things. We're going to talk to a high school football official, Tony Martinez. He typically joins us on the show once a year when we get closer and closer to the start of the season as he tries to recruit some more high school football referees. So we're going to get to that coming up in just a bit. We'll give you a score update right now. Team USA and Australia in the opening quarter. And a lot of people have been gearing up for this game because you have two unbeaten squads going into the game today. Team USA looked good at times against Venezuela. Australia has been the talk. They have been the talk of the tournament so far. Aaron Baines, Andrew Bogut, Joe Ingles, Matthew Dellavedova, Patty Mills. That's five NBA players in the starting five. And right now, the score is tied 15-all in the opening quarter. We'll give you updates on that throughout the show. Andrew Bogut, Joe Ingles, Dellavedova, they haven't missed. Patty Mills is one of three, but he's hit one shot from downtown. And 15-15 midway through the first quarter in that one. Carmelo Anthony, 18-17 now, Australia with a one-point lead. Carmelo Anthony leading the way for Team USA right now. He's been the leader of that team. He's 4-5 from the field with 11 points. We'll continue to update you on that game again throughout the day. Outside of the Olympic talk and outside of talking some high school football, well, there's really not a whole lot else going on in the national sports scene right now, so we're going to be focusing heavy on that. Plus, we'll get you an update on everything local as far as soccer. Soccer season starts tomorrow. Don't forget about that. High school-wise, we can't forget about it. We had Coach Eric Nielsen on the show yesterday. If you missed that interview, we're going to recap it in just a moment. And we might as well talk some Major League Baseball because there's a full slate of games going on right now. The Phillies taking it to the Dodgers, 6-2 in the top of the ninth. That one just about over. The Dodgers actually managed to draw even with the Giants last night. That is about to change because the Giants did get a 1-0 win over the Marlins earlier today. Jeff Samardzija with a win on the mound, and the Dodgers in the midst of losing top of the ninth. Again, they trail the Phillies 6-2. One other game going on right now, Washington all over Cleveland, 7-4, that game in the bottom of the sixth. We take a look at what else is coming up tonight, 5 o'clock, the Yankees will be on the road to take on the Red Sox, the Padres will take on the Pirates, the Blue Jays play host to Tampa. We get the Diamondbacks at the Mets, the Cardinals host the Reds, Colorado at Texas. The Angels will be at Chicago, Atlanta at Milwaukee at 6:10. We also get Houston at Minnesota, White Sox at the Royals, two nightcap games tonight at 8 o'clock, Baltimore at Oakland, and Detroit at Seattle. Quick rundown of what's happening in the national sports scene as well. We're going to pause for just a moment. When we come back, Olympic talk here on Drive Time Sports, KOA 103.9 FM and 750 AM.
There are few things that are as smooth as a drive to the basket for 2 points.
Bailey breaks Lucondo's ankle, drives for two, foul and one.
Experience that same feeling off the court in your automobile with a trip to J&D Automotive in Castle Dell. J&D Auto is number one in parts and service. So if your car is running rough and you need a diagnosis, or if you're in need of one specific part to finish the job yourself, head to J&D Automotive in Castle Dell.
Before anyone did anything.
The first to sell a billion records. The first to be censored. The first to cause fan hysteria. The only king of rock and roll.
Elvis did everything.
But it's one for the money.
Elvis is coming to 98.3 Kickin' Country for a one-night-only event Tuesday, August 16th. Join Jordan Buscarini, legendary TV and radio personality Wink Martindale, and George Klein, author of the book Elvis, My Best Man. Elvis on Kickin' Country, 98.3 and 106.7 FM, August 16th.
Here one night with you.
Elvis on Kickin' Country, Tuesday, August 16th, is brought to you by Peterson Chemical, Emory Telecom, Handy Martin Helper, and Christine Watkins for State Representative.
Would it make my dreams come true?
Emory Telecom's new e-fiber internet service is helping business here in eastern Utah. Businesses know that unreliable internet connections can have real costs. Any amount of unplanned downtime can bring business communications and productivity to a complete stop. With new fiber optic internet available through Emory Telecom, your business will experience the fastest, most dependable internet service available. Even during high demand periods, your connection will stay fast with e-fiber. Let Emory Telecom help your business stay connected. Call them today at 613-9605.
Hi, I'm Casey Quinn with Catton and Miller Insurance. We all know the best game is a combination of the players, the X's and O's, and the end score. Your insurance also requires these same elements. The players, you and I, the X's and O's, your coverage, and the end score, your peace of mind. The playbook consists of many different options. As the trusted choice independent insurance agent, we have the options you need with multiple carriers to make sure your game is where you want and need it to be. Give me a call today, 435-637-1848.
Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. The Emory High School girls soccer season will begin tomorrow as the varsity team travels on the road to take on Provo High School. This will be the second year of existence for the Lady Spartans soccer squad. Last year, they won a total of 5 games, 3 of which were in region, which was good enough to qualify for the state tournament. Yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, head coach Eric Nielsen was a guest, and he talked about the excitement building around the second season.
You know, as we talked at the end of last season, we had a lot of success, and you kind of asked what I wanted that team to be remembered for, and I think it's the same. I think that I want them to be remembered for coming and working hard and starting a winning tradition here at Emory High School. Looking forward to this season. The girls this year have put in a lot of work and a lot of effort over the summer, and expect to have the same thing this year.
This year, Emory will once again hold a bunch of sophomores and juniors on the varsity squad, making them one of the youngest teams in the 2A classification. Coach Nielsen says, ready or not, it's time to play.
I think we're ready to go, though. The girls have been working hard. We've had all week last week to get going, a couple days this week, and we're off and running, and that's the way it goes. So I think we'll be ready, though.
The Lady Spartans will once again share the Region 15 with Grand, Gunnison, Manti, and North Sevier. Coach Nielsen says the biggest thing entering this season is that the girls know that they can compete with all of the teams in the region.
We learned last year as a team we can compete with this region. We tied for third last year. We had a very competitive game over at Gunnison to finish off our region last year. And that was the biggest thing, I think, is We're right there with these teams. We can be competitive.
Again, the Lady Spartans will kick off the season tomorrow against Provo. They'll return to action next week on August 16th, once again on the road. The first home game of the year will take place on August 18th as they welcome in the Union Cougars. Registration is currently open for the Millsite Reservoir Fishing Derby, which will be held on September 24th. This will offer enthusiasts a competition-based event for the popular pastime. Registration for the event is currently open, again, to the first 125 people. The cost to participate is just $50 per person during the pre-registration phase. Online registration is currently available at finsandfurguiding.com. $1,000 will be on the line as participants battle against one another for the day. Second place will pay $750, and third place will pay $500. There will also be an hourly prize of $100 for the biggest fish caught in that time frame. Cabela's and Sportsman's Warehouse will work as a tournament sponsor for the event. Each participant will also receive a drawing ticket for an opportunity to win a kayak, a fish finder, gift cards, and more. For more information on the event, call 801-915-0355, or you can email finsandfurguiding@gmail.com. Today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we will talk to Southeastern Utah football official Tony Martinez as the group tries to recruit a couple of more officials for the upcoming high school football season, which begins this Friday with the annual inter-squad scrimmage games. The season will officially begin next Friday. Martinez will join the show today beginning at 4 p.m. on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 a.m. And lastly, with the fall high school sports season right around the corner, make sure you visit CastleCountryRadio.com. It's there you'll find a complete fall schedule for every Carbon High athletic sport. You can also find the weekly schedule for Emory High School. Both of those are posted again at CastleCountryRadio.com. You'll find more news, sports, and community events also at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Hot wings, pizza, fried chicken. What's your favorite snack while watching TV? No matter what you like to snack on, Smith's Food and Drug has you covered. Stop into the Hot Deli where you'll find a lot of prepared foods ready to enjoy. Barbecued rotisserie and fried chicken, corn dogs, potato salads, pasta salads, and baked beans. Fresh sliced meats and cheeses are just some of the great things that you'll find at your neighborhood Smith's Food and Drug. Check Smith's out today and remember the short line guarantee. If there are two or more people in line, Smith's opens another check stand.
Hi, Craig Buller Jack here. Jazz players are big, but you know what's really big? A 12 million pound freight train. Never try to beat a train at a crossing, or someone you love might get hurt. Remember, see tracks, think train. Brought to you by Operation Lifesaver Utah.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan. This is must. Say it again. Buscarini. All right. Jordan Buscarini. All right. With Jordan Buscarini. Shout out to Queens, New Jersey right now.
Coming to you live from Price.
Put that cookie down!
Price, Utah.
Now!
Me and my man, Drive. Love Price. Price is awesome.
Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini and Travis Henderson on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM. Eastern Utah's main source for local sporting news.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 a.m. We're going to talk Olympics, of course, with the Rio Games in full swing and Team USA right now in action going up against Australia in a very important game in that group. Both teams enter today 2-0 in Group A. We have Jameson Welsh from BelieveTheHypeNBA.com joining us right now over the phone. Of course, we're going to bring Jameson in if we're talking NBA basketball, but we're also going to talk about some other storylines popping around the Olympics. Jameson, as always, it's great to get you on the show. Great to hear from you again. Thank you.
Man, thanks for having me as always, man. Definitely appreciate coming on. Good time of year. It's Olympics. You got baseball in full swing. You got training camp on the way. Hard Knocks debuted last night. So, you know, it's a lot of things going on. You know, it's almost hard to stay focused, but it's a really good thing.
It is, and I'll say this when talking about the Olympics. I think I'm more interested in these particular summer games than I have been over the past too. I mean, we go back to 2012. We had the Redeem team. I was really interested in that storyline. To me, I think that's one of the greatest teams ever assembled, maybe the greatest team ever assembled, close to it. That was a great storyline. Outside of that, I mean, it seems like there's more storylines floating around this particular Summer Games than in years past. It's been great.
Well, this year has been different because of the whole situation in Brazil. Like, a lot of people didn't want to go to Brazil. It was crazy because 4 years ago, that's all you heard was people wanting to go to Brazil. Wanting to go to Brazil. That was the goal, going to Brazil for the World Cup and the Olympics. That's all you heard from everybody was like, hey, I'm going to Brazil. I'm going to Brazil for the Olympics. And then all the stuff comes out with the Zika stuff and the, you know, not being safe and all the issues they're having over there. Then half the guys that were originally signed up to be on the team bow out, and you have to find other guys and the public like us that have a little bit of money. We're like, nah, we're not going to go cover it. Like, I'll leave that for somebody else. Like, we're not going to get paid a lot of money to do it. We're not going to go do it. And then the average person that usually goes to the Olympics is like, you know what? I'll wait. I'll just watch some baseball games at home. I'm not going to go over there. And that's kind of how it is. So kind of the extracurricular stuff kind of led into it dying down on our end. Not the actual games itself, but the other stuff that was going on in the host country led to that. And that does happen from time to time. But for the most part, it's still Olympics. It's still Olympics where there's a lot of good storylines. You know, with some of the Team USA basketball, they're still the heavy favorites. It's just it's unfortunate that the storylines, the main storylines are who isn't here instead of who is here.
Well, let's talk about something outside of basketball here for a moment. We'll jump back to basketball in a minute. Michael Phelps, guy is absolutely incredible. Going into these Olympic Games, I said you could make a case for him being the greatest athlete of all time. He now has 20 and 21 gold medals. He picks up 20 and 21 already at these Summer Games. Absolutely fantastic. I mean, he had that victory lap and anchoring the 4x200 freestyle relay. The crowd's really behind Michael Phelps. This guy just continues to build his legend. Jameson, this is one of those instances. And you and I have had these conversations in other sports. If we're talking basketball, football, or baseball, we are watching history. We're watching one of the greatest athletes of all time. And I think he adds at least another gold medal to his resume before the 2016 games are over. If he can get to 22, that's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing to say he's got 21, much less if he can get to 22.
Man, look here. He's at 21. All right, Andrew, let's think about that. I read something on Twitter. I'm not sure if it's true, but he qualifies for a platinum medal since he got to 20. I don't know if that's true, and I've never heard of that, but if that's true, that's amazing. No, Michael Phelps, what he's doing is he is rewriting the record books every lap or every swim he takes. It's amazing. It truly is. He's a guy that when it's all said and done, you can make an argument that he's one of the best athletes ever because no one's ever had this. No one's ever done this. So when you talk about Mount Rushmore athletes, you got to bring his name up because this is something, especially over the span of years he's done it in. You know, that's the key. I mean, being able to do it over a time span, being able to do it over several years, several Olympics, is huge, especially swimming, where usually guys have one dominant summer, maybe two. If I'm not mistaken, he's been doing this since 08. You know, so if you're able to carry this strongly, man, this is something that's amazing. It's a story upon itself, and just the dominance, the utter dominance that he has, it reminds me of Tiger Woods in his prime, just being able to, you know what's going to happen before it actually happens. It's just very, very impressive. And like you said, it would not surprise anyone if he gets another medal before it's all said and done, if not another two gold medals before it's all said and done. So he's doing a very good job. And it meant a lot when you saw the whole Team USA basketball and other athletes there rooting him on. And they knew what they were witnessing. That was a very special moment.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is something that's just, it's mind-blowing, it's fun to watch, it's must-see TV. When Michael Phelps is swimming at night, you know you have to be in front of the TV, and you have to watch it, because it's just something that we've never seen before. I don't know that we'll ever see it again. Again, joining us right now, Jameson Walsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jameson, while we're talking about the Olympics, we are now at the 20-year anniversary. I can't believe this was 20 years ago, because I remember watching this like it was yesterday, when Michael Johnson set the record, winning both the 200 meters and the 400 meters in Atlanta back in 1996, 20 years ago, that Michael Johnson was rocking the gold shoes when he crossed the finish line in both the 200 and 400 meters. And I know Bleacher Report had a fun little documentary. It was about a 5 to 6 minute documentary about the gold shoes and about the pressures that Michael Johnson had on him going into the Atlanta games. And that's the thing that's so important. Yeah, we can talk about, you know, the games being in Brazil. Michael Johnson was the first superstar to race in the Olympics in a country that was playing, for his country, as they're playing host to the games. That's a completely different beast.
Oh, no doubt. You know, he was a guy that, you know, you think of U.S. track and field, I mean, you think of like Carl Lewis in the 80s, you know, late 70s, early mid-80s. You think of guys like that, you don't really think of anyone after that. You know, that was the main guy. And now Michael Johnson comes out of nowhere, and then he puts on these gold spikes. And people are like, whoa, what's going on here? And next thing you know, he wins. And then he does again. And I said, whoa, what's setting records and whatnot? That, you know, that was amazing. It was just something that was very, very bold at that time. But for you got to remember, when it comes to Olympics, these guys only have a certain amount of time to do what they got to do. So if you're going to make a statement and if you're going to do something, you got to stand out, because hey, this is once every 4 year shot. You don't get, you know, another season in 5 months. It doesn't work that way. It's not like basketball, baseball, football, where in a few months you come right back at it again. Got 4 years. So for him to set records, especially in his own country, was really amazing. And for him to put the gold spikes on, it's a legendary thing. I remember when I watched that live, being a kid, working in a family dry cleaner, being a person that was working in the family dry cleaners, and watching him doing what he did was amazing. Like, that was, it was awesome. So it brings back a lot of memories. I was obviously a lot younger then, so I think I was 10 years old back in 96. But yeah, it was very, very interesting to see that, and it's a memory that we'll never forget, especially being in the U.S., being able to see what he did. He put on a show, and that's what I think the Olympics are about. It's a show. It's about entertainment, especially in that event. That's a money event. Track and field, especially the 200, is a money event. It's an entertaining event, and he put on a hell of a show and a memorable show that we'll never forget.
Yeah, and when I say that he's the first superstar track and field runner of all time, I mean no disrespect to those who have come before him, but Jameson, I can't, at least in my lifetime, I can't ever think of another runner. You mentioned it, watching as a kid. It seemed like that summer, every kid wanted to be Michael Johnson.
Oh, without a doubt. And that's the thing that, you know, made it worthwhile, is because you had a guy that in the summer back then, the Olympics were, and we didn't have social media back then. So the Olympics took over your whole sports world. It's not like now where you have social media where you're still updated on baseball and, you know, basketball free agency and summer league the way it is now. Like, you didn't have that back in 96. So when you saw a guy like that, it took over everything. It was the first story on everything. And that's why it was so big, because there was so much focus on it. Plus, it was in the United States. It was in this country. That's also a big thing as well. But for him to do what he did, it put the world on notice. And like you said, we really didn't have a male track guy at that time. You know, the track had been taken over by, you know, guys from different countries, usually Canada or Jamaica, in other countries, but for him to do what he did was very special.
Yeah, and I highly recommend, again, it's about a 5 to 6 minute documentary on Bleacher Report. I highly recommend you go watch it. One of my favorite parts of the whole thing is when we're talking about the men's 400 meters, Roger Black, who took the silver medal that year from Great Britain, he's talking about how he had the lead early on, and he said, even at that point, when I had the lead, I knew in my mind I wasn't going to win the gold. That's how big Michael Johnson was. That's how intimidating he was. And the gold shoes kind of play a factor into that. It talks about the story, how Nike and Michael Johnson brought up the concept of the gold shoes. Even Roger Black, a guy who wins a silver medal in the 400 meters, knew he wasn't going to win the gold.
Right. And that's where, like I said, there's certain type of intimidation before within the game. There's certain type of mind games within the game that get played in these events because the guys are so dominant. It reminds me of a couple of things. It reminds me of Team USA basketball around that time, and also 1992. It reminds me of Michael Phelps, where you know what's going to happen before it happens. And again, it reminds me of Tiger Woods in his prime, where before you even took the course, you knew you were going to lose because he had such a mental edge on you. And that's how Michael Johnson was.
As far as some of the other Olympic games go, I mean, we talked about swimming. We definitely have to bring up Katie Ledecky. She's been absolutely fantastic. Something that may come in under the radar from another United States athlete is Kristen Armstrong. She won her third straight Olympic time trial today. She completed the Rio route in 44 minutes and 26 seconds. We're talking about a cyclist here completing that route in 44 minutes and 26 seconds. There's been a lot of great storylines, a lot of interesting things to follow throughout the Olympics. But Jamison, I think it all kind of circles back around, at least in this country, to basketball, where the men and women are expected to dominate. Still, it's going to be a lot of fun over the next 6 or 7 days.
Oh, it's going to be a whole lot of fun. And when you think of Team USA basketball, you think of star players and superstar players. And from, to my knowledge, everyone on that team has a max contract except Kyle Lowry. You have a team that is pretty ready to go and pretty set to go. You have pretty much have a bunch of all-stars. 11 out of the 12 guys on the roster are all-star players. And everyone except Harrison Barnes said, and if you know me, you know how I feel about him. I don't think he'll ever be an all-star player, but for the most part, if he's your worst player, you're in really good shape. But the key for them is staying focused because, of course, when you've played like 4 exhibition games or 5 exhibition games and 2 games versus teams that you've already played exhibition games against, the competition isn't going to be that great. Your focus isn't going to be there. But got Australia coming up today. Australia is 2-0. They've played well. I want to see the focus level and the intensity level from the jump because you know Australia's going to be intense. They're going to be physical. They're going to be intense. They're going to be playing hard and whatnot. I want to see the U.S. match that. If they match that from the get up early, Australia's done. If they don't, if they lag around and slow around, then you're looking at a 10 to 15 point win. So we'll see what happens, but I expect the U.S. to dominate and get up early and make their – I expect them to make a statement today. I really do.
Well, we'll keep you updated on that game. Again, right now it is in session. We'll give you a scoreboard update here in just a moment. Jamison, it's always great to get you on the show. Thank you once again for taking out the time, and I know we'll talk again here soon.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for having me as always. And if you're a Team USA basketball fan, don't worry. They have first world problems. They're going to be okay. Like don't get worried that they have a bad quarter or a bad half. They have best players in the world by far. So just relax and enjoy the show.
Jamison, we'll talk to you again real soon. Thank you.
Not wrong. Thank you.
We're going to pause for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk some local high school football here on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM. Every time I walk through the doors at Big Dunn's, it's like I've entered my own little Italy, with a twist, of course. You see, there's pizza, and then there's Big Dunn's pizza.
Huh?
You'll know exactly what I mean when you try the Mexican Fiesta. It's like a top-notch taco on a pizza, or the Hawaiian Luau. One bite of the shredded ham or the fresh pineapple, and you're walking the beaches of Waikiki. Or my personal favorite, the Greek Street. Greek sausage, spinach, artichokes, feta cheese. What's not to love? Pizza's not just pizza at Big Dunn's. Located at 170 West, 100 South.
It's not too late to enroll at USU Eastern for the fall semester. USU Eastern has many degree options for many different individuals. Have you ever thought, I don't think I can afford to go to college? Well, here's a thought. You don't know if you can afford it if you don't look into it. Whether you're a student fresh out of high school or anyone else that has thought about going to college, call 613-5616 today and take the first step to a new beginning. Make sure to ask about financial aid options through FAFSA. Get off the procrastination train and head to USU Eastern. Let them help transform your life.
You've worked and cooked all week long. Insist that your other half takes you to the Cowboy Kitchen in Wellington for the Saturday night special. This is Ty at the Cowboy Kitchen. Each Saturday, we offer a different 5-course meal consisting of appetizer, soup, salad, entree, and dessert for only $24.25. Want a night out in the middle of the week? Every Wednesday, I create a unique pasta dish complete with soup, salad, and bread for only $14.95. At the Cowboy's Kitchen, we serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. We open at 7 a.m. and close at 10 p.m., close at 11 p.m. Friday and Saturday.
Do your employees get frustrated waiting for their computers to load? Does it take forever to upload photo or video files to your website? Emery Telecom's Extreme Internet is a surefire way to increase your employees' happiness, as well as your customers. Emery Telecom has internet at just the right speeds for business with 3 employees or max speeds for larger businesses. Ethernet connections are available for businesses with multiple locations. Don't let your slow internet cause your workforce to become unproductive or unprofitable. Call for Extreme Internet from Emery Telecom today, 613-9605.
For 27 years now, Tony Basso GM has been the most community-minded dealership in Eastern Utah. This is Tony, and I believe that a strong community is built through the businesses and people that give back to the community. Through the successes of my dealership and my hard-working employees, we've given back millions of dollars into supporting the great area that we live. We're very grateful to be able to do this and look forward to doing much more in the future. Please consider us for your next new or used car purchase. Thank you.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm Joe Wade for McCullough, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Zero name, no gimmicks.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the grave. Zero name, no gimmicks. That's why I ain't got no.
Time for some high school football talk here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. Now, a couple of days away from the beginning of the 2016 season, we got the black and gold game for Emory and the blue and white contest for Carbon. Both of those games will be Friday at 7 p.m. That'll set the stage for the season opener for both teams next week. Carbon will play host to Manti, and Emory will travel on the road to take on Summit Academy. You will be able to listen to the live broadcast of that Emory game right here on KOAL. We're going to go a little bit different route on the show today. We're going to talk to an official. We don't talk to referees too often. In fact, it's one of the most thankless jobs in the world, right? However, around this time of the year, referees are definitely needed for high school football, and it is a lot of fun. Joining us in the studio right now, we have Tony Martinez of the Southeastern Utah Football Officials Association. Tony, as always, we appreciate getting you in here this time of the year, every year. Thank you.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
I said this on the show yesterday. It is a thankless job, but I know you guys have a lot of fun with it as well.
It is. It is a thankless job. It's underappreciated. It's funny. Before the games, the coaches are coming out and congratulating you. Thank you for coming to the games and all that. But as soon as that ball's kicked in the air, yeah, then it turns thankless.
Yeah. So. And typically after the game, everybody's happy again, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's always that heat of the moment sort of situation where people are excited, or especially if the game's close. That's where emotions come out and things are said. But you know, I've been doing this for 20 years. This is my 20th year, and you kind of get thick skin or turn a deaf ear to it. So it's all good.
Well, I know that there's, just announcing and traveling around, you guys do have some very good white hats, which, of course, lead the crew. You've been a white hat now for how many years?
I've done this for 14 years now as a white hat. My favorite position is umpire. I really like defense when I was playing, and the umpire gets to go between the middle linebackers, and sometimes you get stepped on, kicked on, and knocked down and all that, but you know, it's almost like you're part of the game.
Yeah, you're right in the thick of things.
Oh, absolutely. It's fun.
Now, of course, with football starting Friday, just a couple of days off, we have the annual scrimmage games, and then after that, we dive right into the season. You guys are still looking to recruit a couple of officials to help out for the 2016 year.
Yeah, we are. A lot of the times people can get off, you know, Friday, end of the week. It's easier to get off for varsity games, but we're kind of needing some help in the middle of the week, the Wednesday middle school games, the Thursday JV and sophomore games. So any time we can increase our numbers there, that's a great training ground for new officials as well. The games aren't quite as fast as varsity. The heat's not quite as bad as far as the pressure for the officials. So, yeah, we're looking to get some guys to help us out with some of those earlier games.
As far as new officials go, I mean, you guys have been coming in and talking with us here for the last few years. How long does it really take an official to get acclimated to the game, where they finally feel comfortable? Is it different for everyone, or is there kind of like a time frame of a learning ground?
You know, it is kind of different for some. We've had really good success with guys who have just finished their high school seasons of football. They understand the game. They're in the middle of it. But I have a friend that I graduated with back in the 80s. I hate to say that, but back in the 80s. And he was always a good football player. He just started a couple years ago, and he's really picked it up and done well. So it's kind of dependent on the person. But if you love football, come out and enjoy it. There's nothing better than coming out and being on the field and being part of the game with the kids. It's phenomenal.
And there are a lot of people who don't necessarily love football, but become fairly good officials as well, right?
You know, that's true. And the surprising thing to me lately, I don't know if it's because of the fantasy football leagues or what, but we're actually getting some ladies that are interested in officiating. They do have a few up in Salt Lake and those associations that are good officials. I've gone to a couple of summer camps with them, and they know what they're doing. I hate to say it, but they can show up some of the guys. Yeah. So they're pretty good. So even the ladies, we've had a couple of girls down this area, ladies that are interested in doing officiating football, and hey, they're just as good as anybody else. So.
It's funny you bring that up. I mean, that's kind of been a big topic as far as the college and professional games go over the last couple of years. We're seeing more women officials at those levels as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think whenever there's something new, it's kind of, you know, is this the right thing to do or not? But once you're on the field, all the officials have each other's back.
Mm-hmm.
The main goal is to make sure that those games are called right, that there's nobody hurt, obviously. And it doesn't matter if you're male, female, just make sure that you're a good official. And one thing that when I started, we always had the veteran officials there to help you along with the game, to understand the rules, to understand the mechanics of the game. And, you know, again, if you're male or female, it doesn't matter. We'll train anybody that wants to come out and help.
Again, our guest right now is Tony Martinez. He's with the Southeastern Utah Football Officials Association. With the season right around the corner, the best way for somebody to get a hold of you right now and try to get into officiating for the season, what's the best and most efficient way to go about that?
Well, they can give me a call. My number is 650-6386. And we're having meetings every Monday at the Codell office. If people know where that is, it's behind Tony Basso's GM place. And every Monday at 6 o'clock, we're having meetings. We're reviewing the test right now. There is a part one test that you have to take. It's a 100-question test. It's an open book test. And what we'd like to do, especially with new officials, is we go over the test in these meetings. It's a good way to go over the rules and have everybody understand the rules. And it's a good time also to just build camaraderie amongst each other.
Now, you mentioned that open book test. I mean, you guys kind of take it together in a room so you can help each other out with it, right?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of the veterans already take it online. It's something through the Utah State High School Athletic Association you can do online. But a lot of the newbies come in and they'll go over the test. You have to make a certain percentage to pass to be a certified official. You have 4 attempts to take that, so there's a lot of opportunity there. But what we like to see is the new guys just take the test and see what their understanding is. Hmm. And then the veterans, we can come back and further explain some of the rules and help those young guys.
So what's the schedule look like for the officials in this area?
You know, we're going to have a lot of games here locally in Carbon and Emory. We've got some new coaches in Emory. Herdsman here is still pretty new, so we're going to have a lot of games locally here. But we also have a couple in Duchesne, a few in Monticello, and in Blanding. So we'll be traveling a little bit. And we do have a couple of games on Saturdays in Moab as well. So we're going to cover the Southeastern region pretty well.
You've been doing this for 20 years.
Yeah.
Here's a relevant question for you. How weird is it going to be to officiate an Emory High School football game this year without Coach Jim Jones on the sidelines?
You know, it's going to be weird. It was funny after I heard that he was leaving and taking another position. I ran into him in the store, and we kind of traded old war stories from games where if you know Mr. Jones, he was pretty passionate about his football, and he wasn't afraid to let you know any time during the game. And so we caught up on a few stories there. I had a lot of respect for Jim, but I think John is going to do a great job over in Emory. He's motivated. The kids seem to like him. I think that's going to be great. And the same here with Coach Herdsman. I think it seems like these coaches are getting a little camaraderie built with the kids, and hopefully they're all excited and ready to play this year.
Let me ask you a couple of questions from a fan perspective, maybe some questions that fans would have for an official.
Sure.
Does it take an official a little while to gain the respect of a new coach? Because, I mean, Coach Jones, over two decades, he's there on the sidelines. You probably go in with some built-in respect for a coach like that. Does it take time to build that respect for a new coach?
You know, I think newbies are a little bit intimidated by those kind of coaches because those coaches know the game, they know the rules, and also they know how to dig on the officials. They know how to play the officials. There's more than one game that's going on. It's not just the one on the field. It's the one on the sideline where those coaches are working the officials to get the next call. So young officials, and I was certainly there years ago, you don't understand that. But once you get into it and you see it, you just go, okay, coach, no, you're working me now. No, you're not. I'm not going to give you that call.
Yeah, that's for, I see that the most in basketball because when I announce a basketball game, I'm down on the court.
Right.
And so I really see that a lot when you're sitting on the sideline. Coaches know what referees that they can kind of play a little bit, and they do.
Yeah, they really do. And you know, I guess that's part of the game. That's what that coach is there for, is to get in any advantage he can for his team. We get that. And as veteran officials, you kind of laugh at the new guys. You can tell when they got talked into a call. The beauty about football is if you throw your flag, blow the whistle, we can come together. And sometimes people don't like it. They see it on TV or during a radio broadcast that, you know, the officials are all grouped up. And some commercials have made fun of the officials and all that. But you can get together as a group. You can talk about it. And you have the beauty of waving that call off or accepting it. So football sometimes can be a little bit slow, but we're always trying to make the right call. So it's a good time, and I think these kids would really have fun if they came out and tried it.
Now, whenever the game's on the line, of course, the pressure builds for the players and for the coaches, and there's movies and epic stories about what the final huddle looks like between players and coaches. Say there's a 6-point game, 30 seconds left, team's on the 20-yard line. Timeout's called. What's the referee huddle look like at that point?
Oh, I can't divulge too much here because I have a tradition, and I know the other officials are out there laughing because they know what's coming, but there was a situation, and I'll just tell the story real quick. There was a situation over in Emory County, pretty much what you're saying, and they called a timeout, so I called all the officials together, and we had a younger official, and you could just see in his face he was just uptight. So I told a joke, and I guess I could tell it here, but it's not a off color or anything. But he later told me that he came over to the huddle thinking, oh man, okay, here's going to be this big inspirational speech, and Tony's going to get us going and everything. And I told this duck joke. And his look on his face just went from tense to just laughing and enjoying himself. So we finished the game under control and not too uptight. If you come out there and officiate, you'll see us between the third and fourth quarter. It's always my time where I tell the duck joke. So it's not as intense. We had another official, I don't know if you remember, Chester Hall.
Sure, yeah.
He used to, his saying was, I don't want to see another flag unless you see a gun or a knife. So white hats have always come up with some sort of saying or something to just kind of chill out everybody, just relax, because it does get intense. I've been in some games. I did a state championship game, Rich against Duchesne, and if Duchesne would have scored, or excuse me, if Rich would have scored, they would have won the game. No time on the clock, last play of the game, and the middle linebacker from Duchesne hit the running back from Rich on the 1 yard line to win the game. So, I mean, that was intense.
Yep.
We've had some police escorts off of other games where they're also intense, but that, unfortunately, doesn't happen every Friday. It would be awesome if it did, because it is pretty fun.
Yeah. Well, Tony, before I let you go, ahead and tell the listeners once again how they can get some more information about becoming an official for the 2016 year.
Well, again, just if you can come to the Codell building on Monday nights at 6 o'clock, we have group meetings. We'll be going over the tests, signing games, and then also you can call me at 650-6386.
Tony, it's always great to talk to you. Congratulations on another season, two decades now, and we look forward to seeing you out there on Friday night.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. Appreciate you having us here.
That's Tony Martinez of the Southeastern Utah Football Association. Again, recruiting some officials for the upcoming high school season. It does begin Friday, and then the regular season will actually start full bloom next Friday. We're going to pause for just a moment. We do have more coming up here on Drive Time Sports. We'll put the final touches on this edition when we return.
The temperatures are heating up, and nothing goes better with hot summer days than ice cream from KFC and A&W. Take the kids down to KFC and A&W, and they can choose an ice cream cone, root beer freeze, or a polar swirl. And you can get a mug of ice-cold root beer for you. You'll be a hit when you show up at the family picnic with a gallon of KFC and A&W's famous homemade root beer. Or just take the family out to dinner at KFC and A&W for the best burgers in town. Summer is the best time to get to KFC and A&W.
There is nothing better than loading the family in the SUV and heading out on a family vacation. The memories, the fun, and the time spent together. But if the money's a little short this year, Desert View Federal Credit Union is here to help. Desert View has signature loans available to help your vacation dreams become a reality. It's as easy as talking to a loan officer. Call Desert View Federal Credit Union today, 687-2472.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
Ever thought of the salesperson you bought your last vehicle from as your best friend? No? Then you have never bought a car from JN Auto in Huntington. At JN Auto, you'll find great vehicles that are still covered by a manufacturer warranty. That means you get a new vehicle without the outrageous new vehicle payment. JN Auto takes pride in making sure they keep their customers happy during every step of the sale, so your salesperson becomes your new friend. And even after you make your purchase, the team at JN continues to take care of you. JN Auto, making lifetime customers and friends.
Oh, I just love a cold burger with ice crystals on it. And chicken that's been microwaved so much it's as dry as cardboard. Salads with wilted brown lettuce are the best.
No one likes eating microwaved food that's been sitting under a heat lamp all day. Big Mo's Eatery cooks real, fresh food to satisfy your grumbling stomach and crush your midday cravings. Sink your teeth into a juicy, seasoned bacon burger or take the gang out to gorge down fresh French fries. Don't settle for imitation food that's cold or dried out. You deserve the fresh, delicious makings of Big Mo's Eatery.
Being a sports fan can be painful. Whether you are participating in a sport or cheering on your favorite team, your chance of injury is higher. Local orthopedic surgeons Dr. Kelly Jensen and Dr. Scott Justison encourage all you sports fanatics to stretch properly before either participating in a sport or, if you're a passionate fan, you get a little too into the game. If you're injured, call 637-4800 for more information or to set up an appointment with either Dr. Jensen or Dr. Justison.
Lamar Odom, want to say what's up to Drape Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Bryant to Odom, Odom, oh, throws it down, and a foul!
Back here on Drape Time Sports, scoreboard update for you. As far as USA basketball goes, we go to halftime, Australia leads 54-49. And during that last break, I'm texting back and forth with Jameson, and I'm texting back and forth with a couple of other people. I don't care if Australia has five guys in a starting lineup that play in the NBA. I don't care. We're talking about Baines, Bogut, Ingles, Dellavedova, and Patty Mills going up against Carmelo Anthony, DeMarcus Cousins, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and Paul George. Are you kidding me? Don't make excuses for Team USA. This is the thing I was going back to yesterday on the show. You can be hard on Team USA. It's okay. The expectations for this team, it's to win. They have a team that's absolutely loaded. Look at the max contracts on Team USA. Melo is a max contract player. Cousins, Irving, Durant, Paul George, Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, DeAndre Jordan. They have one guy, as Jameson mentioned earlier in the show, they have one guy that's not on a max deal, and that's Kyle Lowry, who's a pretty damn good point guard. There's no excuse for this. They're shooting 37% from the field right now, from downtown, and typically the long ball is what has given Team USA problems in the past. They've hit 10 shots from beyond the arc. They're shooting 47% from beyond the arc. They're shooting 62% from the foul line. That's a problem. If they lose to Australia, this team should easily take the gold medal.
Yes.
Easily. And even if they lose this game, they're going to be okay because you're still going to get out of your group. You're still going to get into the tournament round. But this team should not be losing to Australia. Just the way they played against Venezuela, You knew this was a distinct possibility. They played horrible in the first quarter. They played horrible in the third quarter. I still expect them to win because most of the time the team with the most talent gets the win. But it comes back to the idea of when you're playing teams like China and you're up by 50 and you have DeMar DeRozan trying to do 360 dunks over the top of people, that kind of stuff comes back to haunt you. That's the bottom line. Now, this is insane for this team to be in a battle, in a deadlock battle with Australia. Again, they trail by 5 at the end of the opening quarter. It's borderline pathetic. There was some very sad news that broke earlier today that John Saunders, very well-known sports analyst, longtime ESPN host, he passed away at the age of 61. He was hosted studio and play-by-play programming. He covered college football, basketball, the NHL for the network, in addition to anchoring SportsCenter. He was also the host of The Sports Reporters, which is a terrific Sunday morning TV show on ESPN. John Saunders was one of the best. He was a true professional. 61 years old, passes away today. It's extremely sad. I'll say this about John Saunders. It's going to be very strange not seeing him as a studio host this year for college football.
Mm-hmm.
His name and his face is just synonymous with college football, especially when you watch pregame, postgame, halftime. Very, very sad news. But again, John Saunders has passed away at the age of 61. One of the great analysts of all time. I don't think that's an overstatement at all. Again, he's been with ESPN for nearly 30 years, so a very sad day there. And all in all, again, Team USA struggling down by 5 at halftime against Australia. We are running out of time on the show today. I got to thank Tony Martinez. We got to thank Jamison Welsh for joining us. Tomorrow, we're going to continue high school football talk. I'm going to be joined by Robert Lovell. He's from Mid-Utah Radio. Robert and I have become pretty good friends over the last couple of years. He's a play-by-play announcer for Mid-Utah Radio. He covers like 11 high school football teams. Like, I think it gets difficult sometimes covering one and then doing multiple basketball squads. This guy covers 11 high school football teams. This guy's a monster. He's a beast at what he does. Very, very good. He's going to join us tomorrow. We're going to talk 3A South high school football, where the favorite once again this year will be the Juab Wasps. And Robert, again, terrific. He'll break down each team for us. I'm looking forward to that. We put a lot of focus on the North with Carbon and Emory sharing that region. But tomorrow, Robert will join us, and we are going to talk about the 3A South. Looking forward to that. Plus, we'll get into some more football talk. And Travis, we get preseason football tomorrow. We had to wait a little bit longer than we thought, but tomorrow it finally gets real.
Yeah, finally football back. So from here on out, we have football the rest of the year till February.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's a great thing. We have 6 games in total tomorrow. Of course, the big one, the Broncos on the road at Soldier Field taking on the Bears at 6 p.m. Jacksonville will be at the Jets, Carolina at Baltimore, New Orleans at New England, Tampa Bay at Philly, and then Washington at Atlanta. Hard Knocks also kicked off last night. Did you watch Hard Knocks?
I didn't.
That was entertaining. Very entertaining. We got to see it. I will be a little critical here because the one thing I'll say about Jeff Fisher is the king of going 7-9 and 8-8. His teams are middle of the road. Something to be said about that, because the Rams were bad when he took over the Rams. The Titans were bad when he took over the Titans. He'll take the teams out of the bottom, and he makes them perennial, you know, 8-8, 500 squads. Jeff Fisher's not necessarily known for discipline either. He takes chances on guys that have troubled pasts. He wants the best athletes out there. Deion Long, who was a wide receiver, rookie wideout for the Rams, was cut from the team about 2 weeks ago. And I remember when Long was cut. He's been picked up by Philadelphia since. It was shown on Hard Knocks last night why he was cut. Jeff Fisher takes the team. He's standing at the front of the podium in the meeting room, and he says, "I got two rules. Show up on time and no guests in your dorm room." Deion Long, this rookie wideout, got caught with a woman in his dorm, and the Rams cut him because of it.
Good on Jeff Fisher.
great on Jeff Fisher.
Broke a rule.
He broke a rule. He cut him. Now, like I said, Deion Long is picked up with another team. He's now playing for the Philadelphia Eagles. But HBO does such a tremendous job each year with Hard Knocks. We're out of time. We'll be back tomorrow to do it again. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We're out.